Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everybody. This is Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, and we're here again looking for opportunities and strategies for senior citizens. Today, I'm very happy to have on our show a gentleman that I've known for a while. He sat with me on the board of directors of the Financial Planners Association of Los Angeles, John Bacon, and he's with a firm called EP Wealth Advisors. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Carl.
Did I get that right? Is it EP?
Yeah. Those are EP Wealth Advisors.
Perfect. I wanted to make sure I got them all in a row. We're coming to the end of the year. He's also you're the treasurer of FPALA, and you've kept the books, and everyone's very thankful that they didn't have to do the job. Mostly that's what they're thankful for.
It's a very exciting job.
Yes. So maybe we can start a little bit of your background. How did you get into financial planning originally? And then what I'd like to do is eventually get into required minimum distributions, which is really relevant to senior citizens these days. But give us a little of your background.
Especially this time of year.
Yes.
Well, yeah, my background, I came sort of a long way. I had first started my career working in IT. I worked for a large mining company and then a consulting company, that was actually down in South America, Chile, which was a lot of fun. Mm. But it from a professional development and career perspective, it wasn't that exciting. The job was good, and the pay was okay, and all that, but it didn't really engage the rest of my brain, and that I'd always been really interested in the stock market and what's going on in the world. And, I sort of didn't even know that financial advisor, that job existed or what they did. I sort of knew what an accountant would do and that's, what a stockbroker would do. But I didn't know of, such thing as a fiduciary financial advisor, somebody that can sit with clients and help them manage, their entire balance sheet, manage their cash flow, explain and kind of help educate them and invest their funds for retirement. So when I learned that was a something that I thought was interesting, I could really help people. I started with a smaller firm in 2015 and started sort of in an operations role, helping clients open accounts, move money, sort of the nuts and bolts and logistics around managing wealth, taking required minimum distributions, setting tax withholdings and all of that. So I learned the business, I think, through that that lens of operationally. This is the difference between a retirement account and a brokerage account and a trust and all those things. I learned sort of by doing, which was fantastic. And then I studied and attained my certified financial planner designation in December of 2018, and then became an advisor and started adding on clients over the last number of years, and fast forward, I'm at kind of a bigger firm. We manage in the neighborhood of $28 or $29 billion, and we have 15,000 client households nationwide. I work on a team of three advisors, and we manage about 1.2 or 1.3 billion on our team, and so I get exposed to a lot of different client situations, and I enjoy it immensely. It's a job that's always different, always new situations to help, but there's a lot of recurring themes, such as doing required distribution, such as managing IRA distributions in general and managing tax brackets and just overall making that transition into retirement. So you do learn some tricks along the way, but every person's different, every personality is different and history and all those things. So it's It sort of always keeps you on your toes, which I enjoy, but there's also, you know, some underlying themes that tend to repeat themselves among different clients. So the more that I work with, I feel like the better I get at, the more situations that
I see. And I think that's so important for people to hear this with financial, to consider a financial planner, because you're seeing these things, you know, let's call them the, I'll just say the dirty dozen, you know, a dozen things that, or the,
yeah,
or the naughty nine, you know, all these little expressions, you know, I don't know what the number is, but, you know, a handful of things that repeat themselves or people have to deal with too, right? Whether there's an actual crisis or not, or, right? Because that struck me in what you were just talking about.
Yeah, when people retire, it's such a big change, right? So most people, you've gone to work, you've received a paycheck every month, and, you know, it's sort of easy to manage your finances that way. Hopefully you spend less than comes in each month, and you're able to put away a little bit each month and save in your 401k and do all those things. But one day you wake up and you say, well, I'm retired, and that paycheck stops. And, you know, that can be a tough transition for people, because now all of a sudden you're just looking at this big IRA or trust account or whatever you saved, or maybe a pension, and you're kind of looking at all these different things and saying, how do I make this work? And that's really our job, is to come in and look at everything. Clients will bring in, you know, their different account statements and their tax returns and, you know, pensions and all that, and sort of put it on the desk and say, you know, this is what I've got. Am I going to run out of money? Am I going to be okay? You know, what is retirement going to look like? And we've got the nice software and charts and things like that that we can, you know, input the client's info and sort of project out into the future and say, yeah, you're going to be okay, or maybe you might want to work a few more years before you call it quits, or spend a little bit less, or, you know, take care of some of these expenses while you're working and not when you're retired. So we can kind of help plan for that transition into a retirement and ultimately just build confidence and peace of mind for someone that they're going to be okay, and that their money's going to outlast them, and that they're going to be able to live the type of retirement and life and leave the type of legacy that they want.
And do you, and I've heard this expression in your field before, that people aren't worried about dying, they're actually worried about living too long. So when you're trying to figure out, because it's not this definitive number, like, well, everybody dies at 85, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
No, or 78, like the average, or whatever. So,
well, I always tell clients, I mean, a financial plan would be really easy if you told me exactly when you're going to pass away.
Right.
Because I can just say, how many months until then? And just sort of, this is how much money divided by that many months, and this is how much you can spend. And
yes.
Well, sort of, you know, it's like coasting home on the highway on an almost empty tank of gas, and you just kind of want to just get right to the garage before you run out, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But as planners, we have to sort of plan for, we actually call it longevity risk, right? Outliving your money or living too long. So we sort of err on the side of conservatism, because most people would rather, you know, make it home with some gas in the tank than rather, you know,
right,
miles before they're home and they're already out.
That's a great analogy.
Err on the side of, you know, having some left over, and then that goes to your kids or your family.
Yeah, I really like that analogy. That's a perfect one, because, you know, I think it's a good place to start, because no matter what your financial background is, that's really it in a nutshell, and then we can get into the weeds depending on how much your client wants to get into the weeds. But because there's, you know, various podcasts I've seen before, it's always worrying about, you know, how do you pull that off? Also, you know, with long-term care and so forth, and that can really give you unexpected expenses. But
yeah, to continue with the, like, out of running out of gas metaphors,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you're on the highway and there's traffic and it slows down, you know, and you get rerouted for construction. You know, in retirement, there's a whole number of things. Healthcare events, family events, you know, some, you know, kids have an issue that you need to put some dollars into, or, you know, there's many different things,
right,
that can come up along the way. So that's when we're doing a financial plan. We try to suss out all of that stuff and say, you know, do your kids, are they going to need some help? Or maybe you've still got living parents and maybe they're going to need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to go through all those things and try to account for them so that we can be confident in these projections that we're making, and we're always trying to make them as conservative as possible because nobody gets anything out of just us saying, hey, you know, you got plenty of money, you're going to be fine. We'd rather, you know, stress test the plan and look for the kind of bad scenarios and see how we would do in those cases, because that's where you want to plan for. Back to the highway metaphor, if you know there's going to be traffic ahead, maybe you can take a detour, maybe you can take, you know, an alternate route. But if you only know about it, you know, what's right exactly in front of you, it's going to be hard to take any sort of alternative action because it, you know, just sort of springs on you. But if we can plan ahead, then we have a better shot of sort of addressing things in the best way possible.
You know, it's funny as you're talking about this, it's almost like an equation. Okay, how much waiting do you want to put on your kid going, you know, to an expensive private school versus a state school versus graduate school? And how much waiting do you want to put on you're going to be needing long-term care versus dying in your sleep? You know, and so you put waitings on this.
It's the priorities, right?
Yeah.
Let's list out kind of what's on the top of your mind, and then we'll look through, you know, what happens if it? What happens if inflation goes crazy over the next few years? What happens if healthcare continues to get more and more expensive, you know, faster than inflation? Or there's a big, you know, you get Alzheimer's or you know, any number of things we can sort of prioritize. And it's like I like to say stress test the plan. You know, look at different things. What happens in these different scenarios?
Mm-hmm.
Because on the more positive, is we end up talking about bad things that could happen in the plan, but there's also good things. We don't want clients to just be miserly and sacrifice vacations or spending or helping their kids if they could afford to.
Right.
Right. So having a good idea of where you sit and where you're going to sit based on kind of the growth of a portfolio or what your spending is, oftentimes, you know, by nature, our clients tend to be wealthier folks, and we're coaching on, you know, maybe you can spend more. This is a great plan. You've got plenty of money. Maybe you sit in business class for that big trip to Europe, or maybe, you know, you can help to, you know, your kids out in a way for down payment or whatever it might be. There's no use in just, you know, sort of waiting to die with lots of money. You want to kind of make it work for you while you're living as much as possible.
Oh, absolutely. And it's complex, and that's why I think it's more important than ever to get a financial planner. Now, you had touched on required minimum distributions. I don't want to get too far afield from that. Could you explain that, the basics, start off?
Yeah, and this is one of those big questions that a lot of people will come into our office kind of wanting to, they've heard something, they don't quite know. How I like to explain required distributions is while you're working, the government gave you an incentive to save for retirement. That's by putting money into a 401k or an IRA or any of those sort of 403b or 401a or any of those sort of number lettered accounts. Those are all retirement accounts, and they're tax-deferred vehicles, meaning money went straight from your employer into that account, got invested, and started growing. You never paid taxes. Usually the money that comes to your checking account from your employer, you have paid taxes, right? There's a deduction for Social Security and Medicare, and federal and California taxes, or in California here. So that's after tax money. Whereas the money in a retirement account is what we call pre-tax money. It's never been taxed. And that's a nice benefit that the government gives us, so that it kind of encourages people to put money and save for retirement. But the key part here is the government never forgot that they gave you that benefit, and they never forgot that that money is there waiting to be taxed. So what they do is when it's sort of on a sliding scale, but let's just say 73, when you now turn 73, the government requires you to start taking money out of those retirement accounts and thus paying taxes as if it is ordinary income, because again, you never paid tax on that amount of money. And you don't have to spend it necessarily. You can take it out of that account, just put it into your checking account or your investment account, keep it going, but it does cause taxes. And, you know, the government, it generally starts at about 4 or 5% of the account that you have to take out each year, and then that goes up a little bit each year based on what the balance of the account is at the year end each year.
Oh, it does. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever the balance of the account is on December 31st of the year, it's that, and that's divided by a number that the IRS comes out with. That sort of gives you the number. The idea is it goes up and up and up each year. They're trying to make you distribute the entire account before death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking required distribution and you're 95, it might be, 20% of the account that you have to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets larger. For that reason, they don't want people to live, they sort of want you to pay taxes on all that money. They don't want you to pass away before you divvy it and then send it along to your kids.
And even if you send it along to your kids, they have to spend it within 10 years or something?
That's correct, yeah. So they have to fully distribute the account within 10 years, and there's a minimum amount that they would have to take. But, yeah, so the government's going to get theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So they never forgot about that money. They want to get their share of the taxes from it. But it is something that provides an opportunity because you can plan around it, and we know this is happening. So for one thing, you can take a minimum amount, but you could take more than the minimum if you, say, had a very low tax bracket year for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. Sometimes there is a gap between when people retire. Say you retire at 65,
mm-hmm.
right? So your income goes from something to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then from age 65, and then you don't take Social Security until 70, and then you start taking your Social Security, your income taxes go up, and then they go up even more when you're 73 and your required distribution starts. But what that provides is an opportunity, maybe you take some money out of that retirement account between ages 65 and 70 when you're at very low tax years. Or maybe you decide to convert some of that money to a Roth IRA. Which is a tax-free account for that works as well. So it kind of provides a complexity to the required distribution, but there's also smart ways to plan around it and take advantage of the change in tax brackets and sort of moving income into years when they're paying low taxes and trying to take less income in years when you're in high taxes.
Yeah, that's a tough juggling act, right? Another reason to get a financial planner.
Everybody's different, right? Everybody, and that's why it's hard to do some sort of cookie cutter plan for everybody, because everybody's got their own situation, their own cash needs, their own kind of mix of accounts and cash inflows, and so we're always trying to look at those things in totality.
And sometimes, isn't it?
Doing one thing, but you can't work for the other thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard people having problems where they make more money in retirement than they did when they were working.
Yeah, that happens all the time. They have higher taxable income in retirement. And for you, you might not feel like you're making money because at the end of the day, maybe you have a couple million dollars in an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like you're making money. But you have to pull money out of that account and put it in another account, and that act of moving funds from one account to the other creates a bunch of taxable income.
Right, right. Yeah.
So you don't feel like you're, because you don't have a job, right? You don't have a paycheck coming each month, but your taxable income could be just as high. We have a lot of clients that are engineers and were very good savers into their retirement account. So they have $2-4 million in a retirement account, but that comes along with very large, multi-$100,000 required distributions each year that add pretty quickly onto a tax bill.
And we're looking at the tax bill right now, but also the psychology is you're basically cannibalizing an asset that you were so proud you had and like to look at it monthly when you get your statements. You say, and now it doesn't feel like income. It feels like you're...
Yeah, it just feels like taxes. So I always tell people in your IRA, just to kind of set your expectations, you should sort of think handicap it a little bit. If you've got $1 million in there, think about that's more like $750 after tax, 75 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Just to assume that there's going to be taxes coming out of that.
Right. Which gets them thinking about another subject of, do I do a Roth conversion before I have to do all this?
Exactly. And going back to that sort of equation of how we calculate a required minimum distribution each year. So if you can reduce that amount, that balance, over, you know, for say between the age of 65 and 70 or 73, if you can reduce how much money is in your IRA, then those future required distributions are actually going to be less. So we're sort of moving taxable income from years where it's going to be in a high tax bracket to years when you're going to be in a lower tax bracket.
Right. Right, and fiddle with it along the way, too. Like, okay, this is going to be a low year. I think I'll do some Roth conversion.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing right now for clients. You know, we're talking with Halloween 2024. You know, so we're looking, you know, last 2 months of the year in front of us. So we're running year-end tax projections for a lot of our clients. So we're trying to calculate exactly what their income is year-to-date. What capital gains have we taken in the portfolio? What have they received from their pensions and other income? And where are they sort of on the tax bracket scale? And maybe there's some room left in a bracket, you know, and
yeah.
We can take out an extra $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 from an IRA without really adding much tax.
Mm.
So there's nice opportunities for people that do proactive planning before the year end.
Yes, that's perfect. And that's a perfect way to. We're going to go into a break now. Do you have time to stay with us for another? We have a couple 8-minute segments to hit on this.
Sure.
Okay, great. So we're going to break for a commercial here. And so we'll be back with John Bacon of EP Wealth Advisors and talking to us about required minimum distributions and how important that is and how important it is to have a financial planner. So we'll be right back.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Three, two, one. Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here with Saving Seniors and a gripping discussion on with John Bacon on required minimum distributions. I feel gripped by it, too, because these are real numbers, reality, a reality check on how you're doing your financial planning and what your plans are in general. And do you have a financial planner? I recommend them. So, hi, John. Welcome back.
Thanks, Carl.
And So some of the discussion we were talking about, you know, when do you How do you evaluate whether somebody, I mean, do you have quarterly meetings or whether they're going to flip into, let's say, a Roth IRA if they have time to do that, or whether they're going to take a larger distribution because their income's down this particular year? How does that work? Quarterly, semi-annually, annually?
Yeah, it's usually, you know, we're going to identify an opportunity earlier in the year, and now this time in Q4, fourth quarter of the year, that's when we actually are, you know, putting pen to paper and running numbers based on kind of their overall income picture,
mm-hmm.
and determining does it make sense to convert some to Roth or just taking an outright distribution,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's something else. You know, required distributions are one piece, but there's other, you know, realizing capital gains and other things that might come into the picture. Another one I wanted to touch on was charitable giving. There's a great opportunity for seniors that are charitably inclined and like to give, you know, to their favorite charities. When you're in required minimum distribution age, you can write a check right out of your IRA to a charity, and it doesn't count as far as your taxable income. So let's say, for example, you have a required distribution of $100,000 this year, but you want to write a $20,000 check to your church or mm-hmm. to your favorite charity. You write that check directly out of your IRA, and now you've given $20,000 to charity, and now your taxable income is only $80,000 instead of $100,000. It doesn't count against you for that charitable piece, which is a nice tool.
That's great, because you were going to give anyway.
It's not like a tax dodge or anything, because I think I always tell people this is for if you were going to give anyway, let's just move it from your checking account, from your IRA, or from whatever you are. There's other times some people want to get stock, or there's some smart ways to do that. But I think the it's called a qualified charitable distribution, QCD.
Mm-hmm.
Is sort of in place of a portion of your required distribution is a fantastic tool for those that are giving to charity already.
I remember an accountant talking about putting things in the right bucket, and that's sort of what you have. People have buckets of financial instruments, and you have to decide, you know, what's the most, when moving them, or chess pieces, essentially, you know, another metaphor to, how do we move, what amount of money are we going to move, and from what bucket?
Exactly. I mean, that's so key in retirement. Again, that's what adds complexity and why people, I think, hire us, is because, you know, I've got all these different accounts. I've got money, but I've got different accounts, and each one's got different tax implications. Which one do I use first? Which one do I use last? Which one do I use for charity? You know, which one do I help my kids with? You know, so we can help make sure that you're using sort of the most efficient kind of structure for all your accounts and all your funds, so that we can help you zoom out where you just focus on what are my goals. I want to give to charity. I want to help my kids. I want to, you know, have a nest egg for Gates of the Health event or something. And then we can sort of help you, you know, behind the scenes with how do we structure all that? How do we organize it? Make sure you're being as tax efficient as possible throughout.
And if, you know, there's different degrees of wealth. There's people who want it to last for survival purposes. There's people who want to pay less taxes in general, and there's super wealthy who are more considering legacy. And it can get more complex as you go up the food chain, no? In other words, setting up foundations for charity and...
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
It can get wildly complex.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be. I would also say that because we have very large clients that you know, keep it pretty simple, and even though they're worth maybe $20 million, they've got a pretty simple situation, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm always trying to coach clients towards simplicity and keeping their arms around all of this stuff. You know, less accounts, less different financial institution, less things in general. I think just helps most clients get their arms around their finances and have a, you know, understanding so that they can be confident that it's all correct and all makes sense, and not having just like random accounts and different investments strung out across the place.
Right, because, and also you help people balance the portfolio. So again, I'm as a just an observer here, you know, There's a fellow named Ray Dalio who believed you should have 15 different, with diversification, 15 different assets. I didn't dig further in that. Like, what does he mean? Can you have, does it, if you have one type of real estate asset, can you not have another real estate asset? Or, you know, so, but diversification. For preserving their portfolio.
Wall Street.
Sorry?
Diversification is the only free ride on Wall Street.
That's fun.
You can get the upside with less downside.
Yes.
And that's really it. And that's why we diversify. And that's, I mean, a big part of our job, too, is you know, I tell clients, you're not hiring me to hit home runs for you. You're not hiring me to, you know, pick that one in a million stock and that's going to make you rich. You're really hiring me to protect your nest egg, to make sure that you have enough to satisfy and fulfill all your goals and, you know, provide a legacy if that's important to you. But really, we want to make sure, and we spend a lot more time sort of on defense and making sure we're not losing any money for you, or at least not enough that's going to change your lifestyle. And one of the best tools in the box for that is diversification, right? Because the more asset classes that you have, you know, different types of assets, big stocks, small stocks, medium stocks, commodities, real estate, bonds, you know, all these sorts of things, tend to move differently. So by adding them into a larger portfolio, you can keep, you know, sort of similar upside and as well at the same time reducing potential downside, which is a great trade-off.
Yes, and I've followed, you know, Wade Fowle, who was a, I'm just going to interject the reverse mortgage in terms of using, if you have all this equity in your house and you can help preserve your actual stock portfolio and mutual funds and things by, when there's a downturn, to use your line of credit on a reverse mortgage. So it's a sequence of returns, as they say.
Right.
So that's used to really expand people's wealth. And that's why it's so...
Because you want flexibility.
Yes.
You want flexibility to be able to, you know, avoid selling stuff when it's down. Right?
Yes.
So you need to have a bit of a buffer. So we can be smart around when you're realizing income, when you're selling stocks, all those sorts of things, because you're gonna have a much smoother ride if you've got the ability to pull cash from different buckets, and hopefully you're not having to sell, you know, Amazon stock the week that Amazon is down 20% or whatever it might be.
Yes, and picking stocks by yourself as a layman is essentially gambling, in my opinion. I've heard it phrased that way by a you know, people in the business, not in the financial planning business, but I believe this was a Dartmouth professor who was doing a presentation. I like that. That's a clean way to look at it, was people are trying to pick stocks and avoiding diversification because their Amazon's doing so well or their Apple's doing so well, I can't sell any of it, even though it's 25% of your portfolio. It eventually won't do well, possibly. So diversification. I'm being signaled to do a break here. And I want to give your number along the way here instead of just the end. So, by the way, this is John Bacon, JONBACON at EP Wealth Advisors. And what's your phone number people could reach you at?
It's 424-258-3337.
And your email?
It's jbacon, J-B-A-C-O-N, at epwealth.com.
Perfect. So we'll go on a break here. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with John Bacon, financial planner. We'll be right back.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh. Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors, talking about mandatory or required distributions with John Bacon of EP Wealth Advisors, a certified financial planner. By the way, we didn't talk about that. Some people call themselves financial planners, but you're a CFP, a certified financial planner, which is this arduous testing and education element to it. Before we get into the next topic, could you hit that CFP topic a little bit?
Yeah, and there's actually a national advertising campaign going on by the CF board to try to create, you know, some more understanding and knowledge around what the designation means, because we think it is important. Generally, a CFP should be a fiduciary, meaning there's a legal and ethical obligation to put the client's interests ahead of our own. So that's a really important thing that we try to give the best we can, unbiased advice and just direction as far as, you know, what's the best path forward, how to best manage your resources in retirement, how to help your family, et cetera. So we, a CFP is, you know, we look at investments, obviously, you know, we're picking stocks and bonds and mutual funds and things for client portfolios, but we also want to expand the conversation and talk tax and estate planning and, you know, your real estate holdings and sort of everything with a dollar sign that impacts them, but we can kind of help with a holistic plan rather than, I think, historically, financial advisors would just sort of, you know, call you up, a broker would call you and pitch a stock and say, hey, you know, we think Micron Semiconductor is the one to go with today, or we think Pets.com is the stock, or Amazon is the stock. Now we sort of lead with a financial plan, and then from there we can sort of back into what's the investment strategy that works the best to support that plan.
Yes, and you talked about, you know, you're not here to hit homers, but to have a prudent financial plan, and we talked about diversification. What sort of things do you diversify in?
Well, one thing that we see all the time here, and I'm located in Los Angeles County, so, you know, real estate has done amazing, you know, over the last few decades here. So we have a lot of clients that are in retirement, you know, bought their house for, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 in the 80s or the 90s, and now they're worth, you know, maybe another million. So what that ends up doing to someone is it really creates concentration in their portfolio in the same way if you bought NVIDIA 5 years ago or Microsoft 5 or 10 years ago, where, you know, one asset or one position does so well that it kind of takes an outsized portion of your balance sheet, which is fantastic. There's nothing wrong with it, one of those home runs or having a good thing. It's actually a great, you know, windfall. It's a win. But from my perspective, you got to protect that too. So you don't want to have 80% of your or 75% of your portfolio wrapped up in one stock, and you also don't want it wrapped up just in your home equity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people are working hard to get their mortgage paid off in retirement. Maybe they take resources from their investments when they put them into paying down that mortgage quickly before retirement, but now they're sitting on, you know, a fully paid off house, but you know, you can't pay bills with home equity, unfortunately, unless maybe you talk to Carl with a, you know, reverse mortgage, but you know, it kind of restricts your flexibility to a certain extent.
Yeah, it really does. And again, I want to make this about you, but that's when people come to me oftentimes with financial planners, and sometimes, you know, it's a desperate situation. They have to use the house for equity. That's where the reverse mortgage comes in, because you do not have to make payments on it, and you can use a line of credit and just supplement your Social Security or supplement your income or give a lump sum if necessary. Maybe some people use a lump sum, and they could have a financial planner, you know, mindfully watch it with their fiduciary eye. So do you look at it when you run an analysis? I guess it's plug and chug according to your software, but how much is in bonds and how much is in, you know, different types of equities, and whether it's a mutual fund or an ETF or otherwise, how does that work?
Yeah, so again, the investment strategy should be in support of the overall financial plan. So what are the client's goals, and what are their current resources and future needs? And from there, we can develop, you know, a balanced strategy, you know, it's a mix of stocks and bonds. And my firm is unique because we actually do have an in-house portfolio management team that selects individual stocks, you know, S&P 500 stocks that you've heard of. And then we also complement the portfolio with some mutual funds and ETFs for some of those different asset classes like emerging markets or small cap stocks, things like that, where we'll use a manager that specializes in that type of, in that market.
Mm-hmm.
But big picture, you know, we want to make a portfolio that's in line with the goals, right? So if the goal is, you have, say, a client comes in with many millions of dollars and there's no way that they're going to be able to spend it during their lifetime, even though they're older, it might make sense to have a sort of risky portfolio, because we're actually sort of investing for their kids or their grandkids at that point, even though those funds or those accounts are still on the balance sheet of the kind of that first generation, the older generation. You know, they're not, they have enough maybe income or other assets that they're never going to touch some of those accounts. So we sort of look at these as saying, hey, well, these are going to be really more for the kids or the grandkids, so let's crank up the risk, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, those grandkids aren't going to be touching this for 30 years. So who cares if there's a downturn in the next couple of years? We're highly confident that, you know, the market will reward you for staying invested over the next 30 years. So let's kind of crank it up and add more to equity. Or vice versa, somebody who really needs just a, you know, they're, again, back to the metaphor of trying to, you know, coast in with enough gas in the tank. We want to make sure we don't have a very volatile portfolio for them in case, you know, something happens and they're going to need to draw more on the portfolio or you know, whatever comes up. We want to have, make sure the money's available for them when they need it.
That's, you know, that is so fantastic. I never thought of that, because when there's going to be excess money, you know, you can be aggressive with it. Instead of saying, I'm older, therefore, ...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because that's how I look at investing, is you start with a goal and then work backwards. What's the goal of this money? So if a client has maybe a Roth IRA that they're probably never going to touch, like this tax-free vehicle that's an amazing asset to pass along to the next generation because it's tax-free and it's going. So that's the account where let's crank up the risk. Or if there's some other, you know, cash account, let's kind of keep that here. Well, maybe we'll ladder some CDs or some treasuries or something, because we know we're going to have a cash need over the next few years. So really understanding the client's goals helps us come up with a smart strategy that sort of fits in line with that.
Perfect. And that helps us end this this segment. Can you stay for one more 8-minute segment with us while we? I know you have a hard close at 11.
Yeah, we got to make it quick.
Oh, we're gonna make it quick. for sure. I'll let you go. I'm very keen on your time frame here. So I'm going to... this is John Bacon of EP Wealth Advisors, a certified financial planner. And give your contact information again, John.
Yeah, thanks. John Bacon, EP Wealth. So J-B-A-C-O-N at epwealth.com is my email. My phone number is 424-258-3337.
Great.
Bacon like breakfast.
Great. Perfect. All right, we're going to take a break. I'll be right back.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here at Saving Seniors, talking about important stuff with John Bacon of EP Wealth Advisors, specifically required minimum distributions, diversified portfolios, ways to preserve your wealth and strategize for the next generation or for your own cash flow and financial well-being. So welcome back, John.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay, so we're talking about diversification and also one of the strategies where, okay, you have plenty of money and you want to make sure you know, you can be aggressive for the next generation. What about living longer than you expected and you're sort of middle of the road wealth? Are there ways to plan for nursing care or, you know, a variety of things that seniors run into at this point where they might need assisted living in some way, shape, or form?
Well, one easy one is waiting or deferring on your Social Security benefit. If you're able to, I like to recommend clients wait until age 70 because you get what the Social Security Administration calls deferred retirement credit or deferred benefit,
mm-hmm.
meaning you get more money than they sort of initially promised you. When you look at your Social Security statement, it's going to have a monthly number that you receive starting at age whatever, 66 or 67. Whatever your full retirement age is. But if you wait a few more years, you can increase that number, pump up that number. And why that helps, we think of it as sort of longevity insurance because Social Security is like a pension, and it's got a cost of living adjustment each year, which is a powerful thing that, you know, you don't see too much. Some government pensions still have them, but a lot of folks don't have pensions, and especially not with inflation adjustments each year, but Social Security does. So by waiting and deferring until age 70, make sure you have the highest sort of initial benefit as you can, ensures that you're getting kind of that stream, the highest stream of income for, you know, if you end up living into your 90s. I mean, if you end up living into your only into your 70s or 80s, it probably makes sense to claim your Social Security early. Mm-hmm. But if you have a history of longevity, or, you know, your parents were well into their 90s or so, it probably makes sense to wait, and then you're still getting a nice paycheck from the government, you know, as long as you live.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And by the way, it's complicated too, because you know, that's another one of those unknowns. Just because your parents lived a long time doesn't mean you're going to live a long time. I've known people, peers of mine, because I'm in my 60s, where they thought, oh, my dad lived till he was 93 and he smoked, and then they had a heart attack at 65 because they're sort of misbehaving, thinking they were impervious to aging. You know, and the part of it is living. There are other factors. It's like it's an algorithm, an equation. I tell my kids you can still use algebra at an older age. You know, it's how much weighting you want to put on. Like, your affluence means your dad might have been a more blue collar fellow, which is the case. This fellow had a dad who owned a tombstone company in upstate New York, so he was out in the yard operating the, you know, the forklift and lifting bags of cement and walking around all day, even when he wasn't lifting. So he's always walking, where his son sat in a cubicle and made more money than his dad, and had, you know, just overeating, over drinking, you know, the things that aren't good for longevity. So again, the equation, it's this equation.
Yeah. And it's such an unknown, right?
Yes.
So when I'm thinking about planning, something that I always have in my mind is, you don't know these really important pieces of information yet, right? It's like trying to do a puzzle and, you know, you don't get any of the corner pieces given to you. Mm. You've got to figure it out anyway. And the best way that I can figure to do that is by trying to keep your options open. So we plan with flexibility as one of the goals. You don't want to paint yourself into a corner. You don't want to, you know, use up all your liquidity or all your cash assets if you know, only have the equity in your house, or to only have, you know, an IRA, or, you know, by having different accounts, different buckets, as you were saying earlier, you sort of give yourself more flexibility to, you know, approach any of those future situations that you obviously can't know in advance. But if you work at keeping options open and keeping your finances flexible, you have a better shot at being successful.
And again, a quick headline to what you just said, or a title, is, you know, plan for the worst and hope for the best.
100%.
Yeah, and I always a big believer in that. That's hardwired in me. Some people, it's not hardwired, and so
some people are optimists.
my daughter thinks, you know, I'm only happy if I'm scrimping and scraping and, you know. You know, just because I'm thinking that, you know, what could happen? And the problem is, as I go through my own mortgage banking career over the years, and now in reverse mortgages, I see people who, you know, old age is a cruel, you know, master if things don't go right as far as money goes. So,
right.
Even people who are very prudent, you know. Do you, I know you don't really deal in insurance products necessarily, but long-term care, my experience so far is it really hasn't covered a lot for a lot of my clients in long-term care insurance.
I bought a policy in the 90s or the early 2000s. Some of those policies were phenomenal, but they don't sell those anymore because they were so phenomenal that the insurance companies didn't make any money, so they kind of stopped doing that. I have clients now, you know, they get these letters from the insurance company saying, oh, we're going to increase the premiums by 20% or we're going to decrease the benefits by 20% because they were such good policies. But I don't generally recommend long-term care insurance, like buying new policies now because we just aren't as good as they used to be. So we try to help clients self-insure, you know, through their assets, through the equity in their home.
Yes, and they that's where people come to me without even knowing by doing a reverse mortgage with a line of credit that they can draw off of during. And by the way, if you don't use the line of credit, you may know this as well. It grows. The availability grows. So let's say you had a $100,000 line of credit. The interest in today's market might be 6.5%, 7%. It plus a half. They give you at the end of the year, now you have a $107,000 loan available. And at the end of the next year, it's 114 or 15. You know, it grows. And the reason the Housing and Urban Development, HUD, did this in FHA is to encourage people not to use their line of credit, to get reckless. So it's really great. And that's what Wade Fowle talked about. If you left it untouched in your 60s, and by the time you're 90, it's this enormous amount of money you can use without touching your portfolio. So the financial planner gets to keep managing a larger bucket that grew and wasn't drawn off of, and the line of credit can be used that is infinitely more, even if it's worth more than the house, by the way.
Yeah. It goes to flexibility.
Yes. So let's get your contact information so we can get you out of here and onto your day. This is John Bacon, EP Wealth Advisors, CFP.
Yeah, it's been fun talking with you, Carl. Yeah. My name is John Bacon, Bacon Like Breakfast. My email is jbacon@epwealth.com. My number is 424-258-3337. Happy to talk with folks, and even if you're not a fit of the client, I'm always happy to connect with people and try to point them in the right direction and help out as much as I can, because I really do believe in this work, and I think having a financial plan is really important for everybody, regardless of your wealth. So I always try to help as much as I can people that reach out.
And thank you so much, John, for joining us. We're really privileged to have you. And give John a ring if you have any questions. This is Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. And thank you again, John.